Mansfield Drug Company in Mansfield salutes our area healthcare providers, first responders, and EMTs serving on the front lines of COVID-19. It is with humility we extend our thanks to you. Thank you for showing up daily in the face of fear and fighting for the health of our loved ones. Thank you for risking your lives and for continuing to stay in the fight. That's from your good friends at Mansfield Drug Company, located at 132 Jefferson Street in Mansfield. Their number is 318-872-1933. They are always working to keep our community moving in a positive direction. Mansfield Drug Company is a proud sponsor of KAYT-KQJO.
God wants us to be. Grab your Bibles. Go with me right quick to Hebrews 4. Grab Hebrews 4 with me. And let's look at verse 14 on the screen and 15 from Eugene Peterson's Message version. Soon as I read it, somebody ought to just lose your mind. We don't have a priest who's out of touch with our reality. He's been through weakness and testings, experienced it all but the sin. Watch this. So let's walk right up to him and get what he's so ready to give. Take the mercy, accept the help. I'm gonna try it again. This side can do nothing. So let's walk right up to him, downtown, y'all feel me, and get what he's so ready to give. Take the mercy, accept the help. If you're not too mean, push the people and tell them, I'm getting mine. Go ahead, tell them. No, tell them it's up to you if you want to get yours, but I'm getting mine. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. We have, you may be seated teaching titles, Good News from Hebrews. Good News from Hebrews. I think I shared with you that the Spirit of God prompted me on New Year's Eve that this year's assignment was Christology, to lift up Jesus like I never have before. I mean, I know about Jesus. It's a shame on me if I haven't before. But I really know myself. Am I saying his name enough? You don't mean any harm as a pastor. You try to preach the whole counsel of God. People have a plethora and amalgam of issues. You try to speak to it all, family and finance and being single. Straight up stuff people want to know when they come to church. But I just really sort of looked at myself and measured myself and asked myself, was I saying his name enough? He did say, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. And that got me studying Christology in a way I never have before. Found myself during my morning meditation in the book of Hebrews, and it has arrested me. It has arrested me. It's the spirit of Hebrews. I'll just keep saying this until maybe somebody memorizes it with me, because I'll just keep saying this until maybe somebody memorizes it with me. Hebrews 3, Jesus is our high priest. People told me they were blessed last week because they found out in Hebrews 4, he'll give you rest. Hebrews 5, he learned obedience from the things he suffered. Hebrews 6, let us move on to maturity in Christ from elementary teachings of God's word. Hebrews 7, we see there's a juxtaposition between Jesus and Melchizedek. Hebrews 8, we see there's a better agreement. Hebrews 9, old covenant vis-a-vis new covenant. Hebrews 10, we see that he is the changeless Christ, the perfect sacrifice. See, but he is the faith is Christ. 12, we have such a great cloud of witnesses. Let's stay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets us. And then in Hebrews 13, we found out we should obey our leaders. And again, he is the Jesus that never moves. He never changes. I said all that to say this is a good book to study. And can I suggest to you that last week we started talking about how in Christ one could have rest. That you've been tripping on stuff you can't fix. That you are arrested him. If you put the best you can, even your past, you are revealed, your past, your mistakes. Plead the blood over it. Do the best you can. Honor God with your finance and rest in him. And whatever they take, let them take it. Whoever walks away, let them walk away. Say, I'm going to rest in God and do the best I can in him now. And so then I got to Hebrews 4, and I thought, okay, let's move to Hebrews 5 next week. But I could not leave Hebrews 4 because verse 14 just messed me all up. And then Hebrews 4, verse 13 just messed me up. Verse 14 begins by saying, therefore. Oh, shoot. What do we have to do, Word Church Nation? We got to know what therefore is there. We're forced to go back and leave the verse homiletically whenever you see that word there. If you can't go back and write in, you have to set the context. You go back to verses 12 and 13, and we find out that the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, cutting between the soul and the spirit, between the joint and the marrow, the innermost thoughts and desires. The word of God, look at me, is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Do you know every now and then when I'm preaching, you ought to say, ouch. Have I ever been preaching and you was thinking to yourself, who told Pastor all my business? I'll never forget one lady, I'm not making this up, she had a major attitude, ran up to me like, how you gonna preach about me? I was like, and what's your name? I'm like, baby, I don't know you like that. God is talking to you. I'm just the mailman. I'll drop the mail off and roll out. Y'all miss that. But how do you know that you have found your church and your pastor? Because when he is teaching or she is preaching, something ought to hit you right where you are. Is there anybody that comes to church saying, let that man say something to me to push me to a new level? I don't want no opinion. I don't know what he's thinking. I want the word of God. And the word of God is quick and powerful. And look at verse 13, because it also reveals our innermost thoughts. It's amazing because verse 12 tells us that. Verse 13 is on the screen. I want you to see it because nothing in creation is hidden from him. Everything is naked and exposed before him. We are accountable to him. So let's get this straight. The word of God is quick and powerful. It cuts us. It reveals us. Christ knows everything about me. There's no secrets that he does not know about me and my past and my issues. With all of that in mind, back to verse 14, therefore, come here, it's on the screens. Therefore, we have such a great cloud of witnesses. Therefore, since we have such a great high priest, say high priest, let us hold fast our confession. Jesus, the Son of God. Look at this high priest here. And I thought about this high priest, and I wanted you to take a look at him from the old covenant. And he's amazing because many of you may not know this, and I've learned over the years, don't take for granted, there are people with PhDs who know nothing about the high priest. Persons with their own business, master's degrees, and when they come to church, again, I'll teach on that next week, there's this kind of biblical immaturity. Not you being immature, you're emotionally mature, you love and honor God, but maybe you didn't grow up in a church context, so the pastor gets up talking this high priest stuff. And I teach pastors. Why do you think they're coming from all over the world? Because I am teaching them we now live in a biblically illiterate context. Used to be a time when you went to church, everybody knew the Bible. There was Sunday school, and you may not know much, but you knew what John said and Matthew said, and grandma couldn't read, but if you start a scripture, she'll finish it. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Couldn't read a lick, but she just knew how to finish a scripture. The Bible was taught. Don't get me to poll this place and ask who really understands the high priest and his apparel and his hookup. I mean, I started to preach the high priest hookup because he got on a hookup, don't he? Hey, outsiders, wear this to the prom. You're turning something out. Man, what's up, player? Jerome. Yeah, got the little bronze. Want y'all to catch this, but man, the high priest hookup. Who is this high priest and what is this apparel? Who is he? Number one, Moses' brother Aaron, Exodus tells us, was the first high priest. And who was the second high priest? Aaron's son. And who was the third high priest? Aaron's grandson. And who was the fourth high priest? His great-great-grandson. It was hereditary. They didn't vote on it. Somebody say, some stuff ought to run in the family. Go ahead. Oh, y'all just missed that. Shame on me if somebody in my family don't love ministry. It's what we do. Watch this. It was hereditary. This is Aaron, Moses' brother, the hookup, every piece of the apparel represents a type and shadow. Thinking church, come here. Hebrews is going to teach us all something together. Represents a type and shadow of things to come. Notice the blue sort of robe he has on, the ephod, made out of gold and purples and blues. It represented the very presence of God. Some of you remember when David was in trouble, he said, bring me the ephod. They thought the ephod could get you into the presence of God. Notice the breastplate that he has on with the 12 different squares representing the different 12 tribes of Israel and 12 different kinds of stones, chrysolite and and diamond and all of the different ones, and the 12 tribes of Israel, Benjamin and Reuben and all the Benjamins and all the different tribes of Israel. And inside of this breastplate was the Human and the Thurman. Say human and the Thurman. I'm going someplace, man. Inside of that were these two stones, and they represented, they thought, the presence of God. These two stones went inside of there, and they thought if he had the human and the Thurman inside of there, he could hear from God. So he was the head religious leader. He was the most spiritual person, they thought. He was in charge of all the other priests. He was the prophetic voice of Israel. But he had one major job. And his one major job, look at me downtown, happened once a year. It was the Day of Atonement. On the Day of Atonement, this guy would go into the Holies of Holies, which represented the very presence of God. Couldn't nobody go in there but him. He would go in there once a year after making a sacrifice and take the blood from the sacrifice and throw it on the mercy seat. He would hope that God would accept his mess and the mess of people, because you do know he had some mess himself. He had to go in there and hope God accepted him. So therefore, they put a rope on his leg with bells on it. And they put a rope on his leg with bells on it. Nobody going in there to get anything. Y'all just missed that. Amen. Pray for me. He was the high priest, but he had issues himself. Oh, thank God. Do me a favor. Honor me. Show me a little respect, but don't praise me. To all of my Catholic friends that are watching, I'm sorry. No hate. I know you're going to heaven. I'm a Christian. You a Catholic. No, Catholics are Christians. We are Protestant Christians. We protest the idea that we have to go through someone else in order to get to God. I remember the Pope. I hope you're not watching Player Player. I think you're a beautiful man. The Pope came to Philadelphia a couple years ago, and people stood outside for 6 hours just to see him. Lean on somebody and say, I ain't stand outside 6 hours to see nobody. Praise God. Only person I'm standing outside 6 hours to see is Jesus himself. Don't put that much faith in pastors or popes, because can't nobody do you like Jesus. And therefore, he was a priest. Look at me. But he was a limited priest. But who is Jesus? Thank you for your attention. Christ is the great high priest. Who? The great high priest. It's a great priest. The great high priest. There is nobody like Christ. He is the great high priest. In other words, when you go to God, when you go to Christ, there's none like him. And therefore, when you go to Christ, verse 14, the Bible says, let us hold fast. I confess. Oh, God, y'all gonna make me jump on the stage. Let us hold fast. Somebody say, hold me jump on the stage. Let us hold fast. In light of the fact that Christ is our high priest, in light of the fact that we have the word of God, let us hold fast. Now, y'all got to catch this, because what are you holding on to? You cannot hold on to what you don't know. Hold fast. I just met with YF this past Friday, 18 to 35. We just hang out. YF, make some noise. And I was meeting with them because in light of today's context and ethos, you have universalism and postmodernism and atheism and agnosticism, and people don't know what they believe. And somebody can knock on your door on Saturday morning. Do you know there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth? And you can get all cut up. You go to someplace else you shouldn't be going to heaven virtually, because you all know that whom I have believed, the Bible, and I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have given to him until that day. In other words, I have trusted Christ. I know who Jesus is. Do you know him? Please catch this. Universalism is hot right now. Our dear brother has a movie out come Sunday. I got to touch it because it's everywhere. And all he's arguing in universalism is this. If in Adam we all die, then in Christ don't we all live? Watch this. If Adam messed us all up without our permission, then Jesus saved us without our permission. Jesus saved us without our permission. If Adam's sin was enough to send us all to hell, then Jesus getting up from the grave, now we all go to heaven. So you don't have to accept Christ. You don't have to come to church. Christ accepted you. His blood is so strong, it doesn't need your permission. So you go to heaven. Adolf Hitler's going to heaven. Murderer's going to heaven. Atheist's going to heaven. Gangster's going to heaven. Nobody has to ask, because Christ's blood is so strong, it'll save you without your permission. That's deep, ain't it? If Adam messed us all up, then Christ saved us all. Makes sense logically, but not theologically. Then, Pastor, how come I got to accept Christ? Lean on somebody and say, because he said so. Go ahead. He said, Romans 10:9, if I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, I shall be saved. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So all of you, I'll put this on the screen so you remember. You cannot cognitively confess what you have not cognitively committed to. You cannot constantly confess what you have not cognitively. In other words, you got to come to church and pay attention when I'm preaching. Everybody asks me what I'm reading right now. I'm a reader. Tell somebody, I'm reading the Bible right now. Go ahead. Yeah, I'm in the Word right now because I want to make sure that nothing takes me away from what I'm standing on. I want to talk to some young people who are not 50 years old and tell you, don't let social media mess you up. Don't let people who think they smart mess you up. Don't even let me mess you up. Paul said, if an angel from heaven preach another gospel, cuss him out. Y'all missed that. He said, let him be accursed. That's in the Bible. In other words, if anybody tells you that Jesus is not the Son of God, run from them. I need some people on a Sunday morning that's still old school, that believe can't nobody do me like Jesus. You gotta know. Some 74% of Christians don't read their Bible every day. Yeah, I'm not fussing. That's why people come here. I'm not here to beat you up. I'm here to help you get up. This is good news, church, not bad news. I just want to challenge you and tell you that very few Christians read their Bible every day. Now, don't let me ask how many people check social media every day. Don't let me ask how many people check their text or their phones. I'm simply telling you, do all of the above, but put the Word of God first, because you got to know in whom you have believed. You got to know. Hold fast. Stuff gonna come at you. People gonna break your heart. Sometimes you're gonna be upset with God. Sometimes life not gonna go right. Sometimes you're gonna pay your tithe and still have a bill due. Sometimes you're gonna love somebody who don't love you back. Sometimes you're gonna raise a child right and they're gonna do something wrong. And the enemy's gonna tell you, we got time for this stuff. I'm trying to live right. I'm trying to be right. It's not working for me. The devil is a lie. I came to encourage somebody that life may not be perfect right now. Your life might not be perfect right now, but hold fast. Hold on to Jesus. Run up in here twice a week and say, if I can go to work, I can go to church. If I can make it to my mama's house, I can make it to my father's house. I need something that will hold me when everything else walks away from me. Somebody stand up and sit back down and say, hold fast. And so I'm taking every preach-teach assignment more serious than I ever have. I left Akron early. I said, I'm going to let the altar people do a lot of the hugging for me, because in this season, I want to save my time for preaching. I saw some of you came in late, still filling up, because I'm not waiting on you. You're going to have to come early. I want to preach. I want to worship, and I want to preach. I want to put the Word in you. I want to make sure that it's inculcated in you. I want to make sure that you have it. I want to make sure that when people play you and listen to you, I'm sure that you and her make sure that you got faith. Inside you, that will help you hold fast if he walk away from you. Hold fast if the job lets you go. Hold fast. Can we stick with the Word today? We're in Hebrews, everybody. There's some good news in Hebrews. I hope you're studying with me. Look at Hebrews 15, chapter 4, verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, this is so good, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, and yet without sin. For we do not have a high priest who cannot identify with our weaknesses, but can sympathize. The Greek idea really means more like empathize semantically. What's the difference, Pastor? Sympathize, I feel so sorry for you. Empathize, I hurt with you. Okay, let me show you. Look at it. The word touch in the Greek. It's on the screen. I want you to catch this. Look at it. The word touch, it means to sympathize, feel, and suffer with. It means to sympathize and feel with the person to the point that the hurt and pain are actually felt with one's own heart. Thank you for being a listening church. To sympathize there in the Greek is the idea, I don't just say, you know, I feel sorry for you. To sympathize is, I feel with you. I hurt with you. To change your marriage, married couples. To empathize when your spouse is talking and to look at your husband and say, you know what? Based on his father, how was he a piece of daddy when he didn't really have one? Let me look at my wife. Now, I love my mother-in-law, but let me look at my mother-in-law. Let me see, she's drinking, she in jail, or she, wow. And my wife is a decent mama when her mama didn't mama her. I want to empathize. It is to look at your teenagers and say, you know, it's harder for you guys than it was for us. Because we ain't have all this social media and being bombarded with everything. So I want to try to feel what you feel. Jesus loved us enough. He did not just come to heaven. I'm preaching about Jesus. Y'all better get this. Jesus did not just come to save us. Jesus came to relate to us. He came to feel us, to sympathize. What was the purpose of him coming to earth? Not just soteriological, but relational. He can feel you. Y'all got to catch this. He handsomely handled the high tasks of the prosthetic limit. Whatever he said, I agree. You don't know what pastor is talking about, but it's not right to me. This ain't that deep. Hypostatic union simply means he was all God and all man at the same time. He had an imperfect mama and a perfect daddy. He had a human mama and a divine daddy. He had a human mama and a divine daddy. He was all God and all man at the same time. On his mama's side, he got hungry sometime. But on his daddy's side, he said, I am the bread of life. On his mama's side, he got thirsty sometime. But on his daddy's side, he said, girl, if you ask me for some water, you'll never thirst again. On his mama's side, he got tired sometime. But on his daddy's side, he said, come unto me, all you who are tired. Last week, I'll give you. Oh, come here. We're just walking through Hebrews. I'm simply telling you, he was all God and all man, so he came to earth so that when you go to him, he understands. I disagree with that, Pastor. Because, man, what do you do? Oh, Jesus, whatever. You don't know what it feels like for your father just to abandon you. Jesus said, yes, I do. I was on the cross and my father, and I had to scream looking for my daddy, Eli, Eli, Lassabeth. But you know, he don't know what it is for you to put all your, you know, for you to help people and then they turn around and just leave you. He said, I fed 5,000 people a free fish buffet with the coleslaw and everything, and they ain't even come to the funeral. With the people you trust had them all in your space. I had 12 people you trusted. I knew it was with me. So you need to understand that when you talk to God, he's not some distant cosmic. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be. No, he empathizes. I'm training. I was telling Elder Willie, Dr. Willie, everybody. Can't wait for him to march in 2 weeks. I'll be standing right there when my baby gets his D-man. And Elder Willie does most of my funerals, and I've trained him. He does a lot of the funerals, and some of you know this. My staff kind of knows it, but whenever we do a funeral, I'm going to be the last person to close the casket over you. It's not in the Bible. It's just pastoral privilege. I saw old Baptist preacher told me, he said, son, I'm the last person to close the casket over my members. Years ago, I wasn't even a preacher yet, but I adopted that. So I said, I'm going to be the last person. I want to be the last person to see you on this side. Me and your wife, or me and your husband, we're going to close it together. I do it for a couple of reasons. While I'm closing it, I'm trying to get in the moment. While I'm closing it, I'm looking over at the wife who just lost her husband. I'm looking over at the woman who just lost her son. And if the son is 8 years old, I think about Ralph. If the little girl is around 20-something, I think about Shanae. If the little boy, about a teenager, I think about Ray. If it's a woman, I think about Lady Vernon. And I see them so that I can empathize. Sympathize. God told me to tell you, a good Christian tries to mourn with you and not just talk about you, but stop and say, how would I feel with my married self if they had the power to be married to? Yes, she's single, but she's anthropological and she's grown. The same feelings I got for my husband, she's going to feel that too. So when she falls, let's help her get up, but let's not kill her. Because when she's thinking, what would you do if your little husband wasn't there? We got to all say, if it wasn't for the grace of God, would none of us be standing here today? Oh my goodness. Downtown. I said all that for 20 minutes. Am I boring y'all? Y'all receiving this word today? So watch this. I said all that just to make it to verse 16. Let us therefore. Ooh, come boldly to the throne of grace. I don't know who's been paying attention. I spent 20 minutes working my behind off exegetically, trying to explicate publicly what I've studied exegetically to get you to see one thing. In light of all that I just taught you, in light of the fact that we have the Word of God, in light of the fact that Christ knows me from the inside out, in light of the fact that Christ broke down the middle wall of partition so I can come right to God, in light of the fact that he's now the high priest, that I don't have to go through no man or no pope or no pastor to get priestess, in light of the fact that no man or no pope or no pastor to get priestess, whosoever will, let him come. Let us therefore come boldly. Not with timidity, not with false humility, not with apathy or passivity, but boldly. Okay, y'all just missed this. Let me try this again. When you want something from God, you don't have to wait from God to let you in. You don't have to wait for Pastor Jesus. When you know him, if you've been washed in the blood, the middle wall of partition has been torn down. You are a friend of God. So whenever you want to, in the middle of the day, on your job, in your cubicle, while you twisting that weave in that girl's head, she has no idea why you're twisting that weave in her head. You are having a little talk with Jesus. Because anywhere you are, anytime you want to, y'all are missing y'all shout. Okay, y'all not gonna have church with me, so I'm gonna have it by myself. You don't need no social media psychologist. You don't need nobody to help you get through the night. You don't need Twitter or Instagram. You don't need no friend or your mama sometime. Sometimes you gotta call on the only person that can help you to not lose your mind in the middle of the night. What's his name? What's his name? You know what? Let's do a Jesus wave right quick. We're breaking a record for getting out of church today. Have you ever been driving down the street in your car and people thought you was talking on the phone? They had no idea you was having a full conversation. Can I get some old people that was cooking cornbread in your kitchen and the kids thought you was talking on the phone? They have no idea. Sometimes you just walk around, you ought to be so glad. Intercessors ought to be shouting. Prayer warriors ought to be shouting, because we got a God that if your husband don't understand you, if your brother lets you down, if your family fail you, you don't have to wait on nobody. Everybody in here, young people, millennials, get in there. Take 30 seconds and praise them for access. Yeah. when your family getting on your nerves, when you get a little lonely, before the Cavs game today. Talk with Jesus. Call him in the morning. Call, I feel like having church in my life. Is there anybody here that knows you called on Jesus when everybody walked away from you? You have a God that will talk to you in the midnight hour, in your worst time. Let us come. I gotta get out of here. Says, let us therefore come boldly, walk right up to him, the message version, accept the help, go to him, take the mercy, accept it, walk right up to him, get what he's so ready to give. The thing that's getting on your nerves the most, you haven't even asked him to fix it. I'm a guarantee you something that millennials come to have tweeted more than you proud. You have sex more than you got in contact with him. Every morning, be rigid about it. Start your day in his presence. You have access. Start if you had an interest number to tell the truth with your father. You had Mr. Obama's number or some of those focused people. Tell me somebody greater than him. And every believer in the world has access through prayer to God Almighty. I don't want to get too happy and miss my teaching. This is critical. In the old covenant, the reason I showed you the high priest is because only he could go in there. And he went in there with timidity because he wasn't sure if he would get accepted, not because God was mean. I'm reading a book right now called Nothing But the Blood of Jesus. It's heavily theological, and it debunks the erroneous truth that God the Father is so mean and sweet Jesus had to get you to Jesus, had to get you to God. No, Jesus came and said, if you've seen me, Jesus said, this is how I've always been. He said, don't read Hebraic text and think I'm some mean God that just wanted to spite people. God is no different than you with your kids. Because some of y'all Old Testament parents, you smite. Now, are you mean? You just being a... So we got this picture of God as mean, but he's trying to bring his children to him, and their sin separated them. Jesus said, I've always wanted to do this. This is me. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I and my Father are one. One of us not nice and the other mean. We both love you. Come on in here. Come to me. Some of you be searching for people more than him. I tell you one. Oh, my goodness. God bless you. I tell you three things I'm getting, and I'm gone. Number one, I'm getting my forgiveness. I'm not going to walk and unforgiveness no more. I'm not gonna let you bring up my past, who I slept with, who I was married to, who I got a baby by, what crack I smoked, how many divorces on my record. Yes, I did it all, and stuff you still don't know about me, but the blood. Wow! Go and touch somebody and say, what can wash away my sins? Ask them, what can make me whole again? Go ahead. Now answer them, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Tell them I'm saved, I've been redeemed, bought with a price. Jesus has saved my whole life. I'm sorry, we didn't fill it up. I'm sorry y'all missed half the sermon. You got to come earlier now. But I want y'all to catch this because number two, I'm getting my family and my finances back. I'm getting mine. Now I'm about to show you a scripture that if you don't read the Bible, maybe you've never read this scripture. But I'm a Bible cat. It jumped in my spirit. I said, I need one scripture that covers family and finance succinctly. And then here comes Psalms 112. And look at everybody. Get this in your spirit. His descendants will be mighty on earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in your house. Wait a minute. All brothers that's trying to live right, throw your hand out. In other words, women make some noise in here. Everybody in here that's trying to live right, throw your hand up. The Bible says that the descendants of the upright will be blessed. Text all your kids right now and say, y'all better thank me. Go ahead. Say, because of how mama living, y'all gonna get the reciprocal blessings off my life. Because I'm trying to live right. I may not get it all, but God's gonna give it to you. And wealth and riches may not be in my house, but it's gonna be in your house because I'm living right. If you got a mama and daddy that's living right, you better call them and say thank you. Because maybe you forfeited some stuff. Maybe there's some stuff, grown man stuff, you won't get in this life. But a real mom and father says, as long as my kids do, maybe I lost some time. But if I live right now, my descendants will be blessed. I keep saying, I don't know what Vernon meant before I got here, but I know what it means now. I speak the prosperity of God and the Father, my children, and I ain't got no grandchildren yet. But when they get here, they will be blessed and highly favored. I'm going to leave them money, favor, riches, grace, peace. You better shout like you believe it. And then last but not least, downtown, I'm getting my favor. Now, some of y'all ain't shout. Two of y'all still sitting down, because you must don't know what favor is. I'm going to break it down and then go home. Favor is when you get a job you don't even qualify for. Favor is that you sit here right now when you should be dead. Favor means you ain't got no degree, but you got more money than your sister. Favor is that you ain't even that cute and got a handsome husband. Favor is when God do stuff for you that don't make sense. Slap five people say favor, favor, favor. Let's get out of church early. Please don't walk. Hug three people as tight as you can and say, I'm getting mine. You better get yours. I want it, I want it, I want it, I want it, I want it. I want it, I want I speak the favor of God over your life right now. Downtown, I speak the favor of God. Get yours. It's not too late. Your life is just getting started. Go in there and get it. Throw your child's name in God's face. Put your bills on the altar and say, God, I'm a tither. Put your emotional pain. Put your lust, my brother. Put your addiction and say, God, I'm in your presence. I'm here this morning. I am your friend. You are connected to me. You told me I can come boldly, and I come now asking you to touch my family. Oh, I feel a spirit of intercession. Salisa, where you at? Salisa, come here. Where's Salisa? Did I see Salisa in here? Y'all run up here. Somebody. I want to pray right now in the Holy Ghost. Somebody right now, just lift your hand. Start praying right now. Come on, believe God that God's doing something big in your life. Come on, somebody just call out the name of Jesus right quick. Come on, believe God that burdens. Come on, let's pray, church. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Downtown, pray, pray, pray. Whatever you've been believing God for, ask Him right now. Ask Him right now. I want to, if you brought somebody to church today that don't go to our church, there's a card in your seat. I want you to grab it. All of my guests, please. Please grab it. Just tell us how we can pray for you. You don't have to join if you don't want to. But if you brought somebody, grab the card for them, okay? And give them a pen so we can know how to pray for you and call you. But I dare you to just bring somebody that you brought to the altar. If they want to get themselves together, would you just bring somebody you brought up here right quick? Just, if you don't go to our church, just grab somebody and say, we come to this altar right now. If God can get this to church, we grab the name of Jesus. If a young brother got stuff on your mind, you ready to join church now. I want you to run down here. Don't waste the crowd. That's the devil trying to stop you. Just come down here right quick and stand in front of me. Hurry up. I mean, run.
Because you're wonderful, so easy to love.
Stand in front of me. Stand in front of me. Stand in front of me. Run, 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 run. Come on.
Tuned in to the voice of the gospel, beaming the gospel in three states to over 100,000 listeners. 70,000 watts of continuous gospel. K-A-Y-T-F-M.
Ogden Auto Glass in Delhi salutes our area healthcare providers, first responders, and EMTs serving on the front lines of COVID-19. It is with humility we extend our thanks to you. Thank you for showing up daily in the face of fear and fighting for the health of our loved ones. This message has been courtesy of your good friends at Ogden Auto Glass at 2274 Highway 17 in Delhi. Their number is 318-488-0271. They are always working to keep our community moving in a positive direction. Ogden Auto Glass is a proud sponsor of 99.3 KQJO Natchez, Mississippi.
Aren't you tired of living from paycheck to paycheck, paying extremely high interest rates on very small loans? Do you want to make more money? My name is Catrice Mason. I will help you remove any inaccurate, erroneous, and obsolete information from your credit file, including foreclosures, student loans, judgments, late payments, repossessions, bankruptcies, tax liens, charge-offs. It doesn't matter what the item may be, it can be removed. You can also get your credit repair for free. I'm also looking for like-minded entrepreneurs who are interested in earning additional income. You have the opportunity to be your own boss. Make residual income. Get paid weekly. Make your own hours, and you can work from anywhere. You will help people to reach their financial goals while reaching your own. You will financial solution and leave a legacy for your family today. Financial 318-730-8441. Again, that number is 318-730-8441. Your credit does matter. It is not an option. It is a priority.
Your Credit Matters is another proud sponsor of KAYT KQJOFM.
Hi, this is Tiffany Sanders. Voting is an important right and responsibility. Every vote counts in this important election, and nothing should be left to chance, which is why I'm encouraging you to make your voice heard and vote early. Early voting runs October 20th through October 27th, and Election Day is November 3rd. For information on early voting locations or your neighborhood polling location, contact the Rapides Parish Voter Registrar's Office at 318-473-6770.
This public service announcement is brought to you by Attorney Tiffany Sanders, concerned citizen, candidate for Rapides Parish District Judge Division F, and proud sponsor, KAYT KQJO.
This is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
the highest mountain. Looked all around, couldn't find nobody. Went down into the deepest valley. Looked all around down there, couldn't find nobody. I went across the deep blue sea. Couldn't find one to compare to your grace, your love, your mercy. Nobody greater, nobody greater than you. Searched all over, couldn't find nobody. I looked high and low, still couldn't find nobody. Nobody greater, nobody greater, no, nobody greater than you. Nobody can heal like you can. Oh, most holy one, you are the great I am. Awesome enough. You are he who carried out redemption plan. Carried out redemption plans.
Searched all over, couldn't find nobody. I looked high and low, still couldn't find nobody.
Nobody great. Nobody greater, Jesus.
Nobody greater than
you. Nobody greater. Nobody greater, Jesus.
Nobody greater than you.
Troops need our help more now than ever. Right now, blood supplies are at an all-time low. Just one pint of blood can help save the lives of our servicemen and women. So give the gift of life. Give blood. It's simple, and it saves lives. That's from Hunter's Paint and Body Shop, where they say service isn't just a courtesy, it's a commitment. For more information, 318-377-3473. That's 318-377-3473. For Hunter's Paint and Body Shop, 318 Dennis Drive in Minden. Hunter's Paint and Body Shop is a proud underwriting sponsor of KAYT KQJO.
Hey, let me hear you say it.
And leave it there, it's gonna be all right.
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 So everything that you've been worried about,
put it on your
but you're not alone. You're not alone, no. See, you have a friend in Jesus, and he knows all about it. And he's got a future on your promise. Oh, yeah. See, everything that you've been worried about,
put it on the altar.
You need him to work it out. He'll work it out.
On the cutting edge of technology, you can't stop, listening.
Malachi Detailing Shop at 1100 Bolton Avenue in Alexandria, open 9:15 to 5 p.m. Monday through Saturday. It's a friendly, safe environment. where prayer is a priority and your vehicle detailing needs are met at an affordable price. At Malachi Detailing Shop, pleasing you is their business. Malachi Detailing Shop, owned and operated by Eugene Stevenson at 1100 Bolton Avenue. 318-613-6715. That's 318-613-6715.
May I have your attention?
The best of the old. The best of the new. The best variety in music.
Great variety of music.
Different music.
Tons of music.
Awesome.
Online anytime. 24/7 at www.kaytfm.com.
Oh, search me, Lord. Please search me, Lord. Now he does it. Turn the lights on everywhere. Now he does anything that shouldn't be. Take it out and straighten me. I wanna be right, Lord. I wanna be saved, Lord. I gotta be whole. Oh, you know when I'm right. You know when I'm wrong. You know where I go, Lord. You know where I belong. Shouldn't